RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host,
let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good afternoon, race fans. A 12:05 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to hour number two of WGR's Fast Track Daytona 500 preview show. We are taking you up until 1 o'clock this afternoon when we will hand things over to our friends at the Motor Racing Network for live flag-to-flag coverage of the 59th running of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. And looking forward to today's running of the quote-unquote Super Bowl of stock car racing. We'll be with you for the next hour. And phone lines are open here right off the bat at 803-0551. 888-550-2550. What are you looking forward to most this season in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series? Is it the new stage formats? Is it the influx of new talent like Daniel Suarez and Eric Jones? Or just looking forward to seeing who can master this new point system that we are all getting accustomed to and have seen it in play already this weekend in the other series. Plus, just looking for your Daytona 500 winners as well, too. Who is your favorite to win today's race? Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. As I stated earlier in the program, for those of you just tuning in, though, I am leaning towards Joey Logano for today's race, but I feel like today is going to be a wide open, anybody can win kind of day because of the level of competition and the performance we are seeing from all three manufacturers throughout Speed Weeks. We've seen the Toyotas and Fords, perform very well right out of the box here at Speed Weeks, and, Joey Logano winning last Sunday in the Clash after Brad Keselowski, making that torrid run to the field and he and Denny Hamlin tangling together, on the last lap. But then come qualifying on Sunday, it was a pair of Hendrick Chevrolets getting the top two spots in Chase Elliott and Dale Earnhardt Jr. And then it was Elliott winning his dual race on Thursday, Jr. dominating his dual race Thursday night, but coming up short as Denny Hamlin got by him on the last lap. So the Chevy showing that they can run just as well as the Fords and Toyotas have done so already during Speed Week. So really, it's going to be a wide open race, in my opinion. And it's hard to pick a favorite. Like I said, I get asked this all the time. At Bandits practice yesterday morning, I was getting asked, who I think's going to win the race today. And I'm leaning towards Joey Logano. I think out of all the teams of Penske, Fords seem to be the most consistent. They might have, they've got Logano's Clash win. They've got some strong runs from Brad Keselowski. Keselowski should have won the Clash last Sunday had it not been for, the late block there from Denny Hamlin. And, Brad was looking very aggressive, working his way through the field. Like I likened it to a game of Frogger, the way he was kind of hopping his way from lane to lane, and he would side draft off of one car, tuck up behind another, then pop out of line and go back and forth, lane to lane down the backstretch. And the ability for that to happen is why I'm very excited and highly anticipating today's race, that you'll hear right here on WGR. The fact that it is with the pack racing, you've got, the ability for either lane to go out in front of the field. No longer is it, you know, one lane is the dominant lane, whether it be the inside or the outside. And that second lane, they can get formed up, they can get a run to the front of the field, but once they get to the head of the pack, they kind of stall out. We've seen that, you know, quite a bit over the last few years. I think this year, last year into this year especially, no longer does that second lane stall out. But they, if they can get a strong enough side draft and maybe those that second car gives the lead car enough of a push, they can go by the leader and make a move for the lead. And that's what the best part of restrictor plate racing is the fact that when that one car gets a run. It's not like it used to be back in the day when you would have the guy pull out a line and do the slingshot pass. We don't have that anymore, that classic move. But just the power that one car can get from just a simple push from the guy behind him to go to the front of the field is still pretty exciting. And no longer can the leader kind of play those games like we've seen the last couple of years. You get that one car out in front, and they would kind of just drive in the rearview mirror and try and block both lanes. It's a little bit harder now to do that because one guy can get such a run with just a push from behind. So that's what has me really excited for today's race. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll talk to Alex Nagy from Drukasa Motor Speedway. We're going to have him at quarter past the hour, and then we'll have wide open phones for the remainder of the hour here on Fast Track. Drivers meeting currently going on at Daytona. It is a star-studded affair. We talked about some of the other famous faces that are at the Daytona 500. People like LaDainian Tomlinson, Jordan Sparks. You heard Kurt Becker in the last hour talk about the fact that Mario Andretti's there. Rob Gronkowski is there today, the Western New York native, New England Patriots tight end. Of course, he's got a deal with Monster Energy, so no surprise that he is there as, you know, Monster Energy makes their regular season debut as the presenting sponsor of the Cup Series now in NASCAR, but Gronk is there. And at the driver's meeting, some interesting comments from Brian France, making some strong statements and a little unusual from what I'm seeing from many of the media members that are there in attendance, for him to kind of make a statement about competition. But apparently, Brian was quoted as saying the driver's meeting that blocking is a part of racing. Don't look for NASCAR as it causes the big crashes. Be a good Samaritan. Do not look for NASCAR. So, you know, he also said that they realize blocking is a part of racing, but when you block, you better hope there's a good Samaritan behind you. So that's a little bit what we're talking about, that the leader just trying to block both lanes. That's not as a strong a strategy, apparently, because it does lead to possible, you know, the big one. We've seen enough of those already this weekend. But, you know, Brian France making a strong statement during the driver's meeting already today about blocking. And, you know, blocking last year at Homestead, you know, did in Carl Edwards and Joey Logano. And we saw it in the Clash last Sunday with Denny Hamlin trying to throw a block on Brad Keselowski as Keselowski darted to his inside going into turn three. And Hamlin wasn't even close. Keselowski had already had the wheel alongside his left rear fender and turned both of them and took them out of contention for the win, allowed Joey Logano to drive by. So some strong statements, you know, coming from Brian France in a driver's meeting, which apparently is out of the ordinary, according to some of the quotes we're seeing from some of the media members on Twitter this morning. It will be a wide open race this afternoon, as we'll be getting Alex Nagy here on the line in just a moment to talk to him about Drukasa Motor Speedway. But, you know, looking at it for this afternoon's race, I mean, you've got, like I said, it's certainly a wide open field. And the other wrinkle in today's race, it'll be the first one using the stage format, and how much that strategy will come into play today. You know, the race will be broken into 60, 60, and 80 lap segments with, of course, the chance to earn points at the end of stages 1 and 2. That is new for this year. And also the chance to earn those playoff points by winning a stage. You get one playoff point for a stage win, 5 for an overall race win. And we'll see if that comes into how much that comes into play. It might not happen as much today at Daytona, as it will later in the season when we get to, you know, next week's race in Atlanta and so on and so forth. You know, Daytona is always kind of the wild card race, and any major rule changes, we don't see as much come into effect until they get onto the second race of the season. But we'll see when we get down to those final 5-10 laps of this first stage, if cars that are not in contention to pick up those top 10 points, will they pit early in an effort to improve their track position in today's Daytona 500. Right now, though, we're going to go to the AT&T hotline and bring in, from the Jukasa Motor Speedway, formerly known as the Cayuga Speedway, the brand new general manager of the facility, former racer himself, Alex Nagy, joins us on the line. Alex, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning, and congratulations on the new role and all the exciting things that are happening.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Real quick, for those listeners that are kind of catching up on this story, the Cayuga Motor Speedway, of course, not far from here in Western New York in Nell's Corners, Ontario. Just kind of catch us up to speed real quick. The facility has sat dormant for a few years. Just tell us about the movement that's going on and how this is all coming to be with the track reopening later this year.
Yeah, we have a lot going on. Some may have seen pictures on our Facebook page or on Twitter. The track itself is on the same footprint that all the fans that had been to Cayuga in the past know it. We have increased the banking all the way around to 3.5 on the straightaways from near flat to about 9 degrees in the corners, and they were around 4 or 5 degrees. So we've put a retaining wall around the outside. A safety fence construction will be starting any day now. We are currently working on the infield portion, done a lot of infrastructure work with drainage and whatnot. And, we're going to be constructing a new pit road with 32 stalls and retaining walls, of course, to protect the infield and some grassy areas. So, you know, a lot the same, but a lot different. And, we're trying to make it so when people come back to Jukasa Motor Speedway, formerly Cayuga, as you said, we know that we've had a great following. It's been thought of as Canada's crown jewel. And when people come back, we want them to think more of it. We want them to be more impressed than they were. So we're doing all we can to get ready to open on August 26th, 27th weekend.
Alex, real quick, just tell us who is behind this operation and how that ties into the new name of the facility.
Have two owners, Ken Hill and Jerry Montour. They're local businessmen, entrepreneurs, and the names derives. They've got a bunch of businesses. Some of their businesses are named Jukasa something or other. The name is made up of initials of family members that were lost in a tragic accident. So there's really, it's just a give back to the family, and the name ends up being pretty catchy. So we're excited to be able to remember those folks and to carry on the tradition of that 5/8 mile racetrack in Ontario, like you say, not far from the Buffalo area.
Yeah, and back in the day, I mean, Cayuga was the place when the Slack family, of course, the Slack family, that's produced a lot of great people, including, Randy and Bobby and Roger Slack, of course, who runs Eldora now for Tony Stewart. When they had that place going in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that was the place to be for, late model and modified racing. And a lot of guys that race Lancaster and Holland and Perry, they would go run there. Art Clark would go run late model races there against, Junior Hanley and Dodd Biederman. And just, I wasn't there back in the day, of course, but maybe you could help describe just how big a facility that was at its peak back then.
Yeah, it was huge. Like you said, it was the place to be for sure, in the whole surrounding area, not just Ontario. As you said, New York and fans from all over the place. There's been all kinds of, historic names through Cayuga, now Jukasa, such as Mark Martin, Alan Kowicki, like you said, Hanley Biederman, Art Clark. I mean, you can go on forever. The super modified drivers and the modified racers, the name, we could be here all day listing names. So, our hope is to capture some of that history, Dave, and to create new memories for sure. So, it's, like you said, the Slack family, I'm really fortunate because Mr. Slack is still lives in the area, and he comes by about every 2 weeks to check up on me, make sure that I'm on my toes and doing things the way he would expect. So we respect that, and we can't wait to have him and hopefully a bunch of our past stars that have been at the Speedway at our opening event.
And real quick, tell us about that opening event that's coming up in late August.
We have there's a Ontario based super pro late model series called the APC series, similar to some cars that race at Lancaster. I'm going to visit Lancaster, visit you guys early in the year, and kind of introduce myself to everybody. Like you said, hopefully we can get a bunch of our guys going your way and your guys coming our way, like it used to be. I know sometimes they don't allow that, but I think there's some closeness there. So we'll have twin 75 laps for those guys, and we'll also have in between those a 75 lap outlaw super late model race. Junior won't be racing, but his son Jeff will be racing, and we've got a bunch of interest from guys from Michigan and Ohio as well. So I think it's really starting to shape up to be quite an event.
Of course, we had a kind of a warm December in October, November, December. You guys got a jump start on some of the improvement. You got to do some paving, and actually, you got a couple cars on the racetrack late last year, and one of those was a name familiar to Western New York race fans, Larry Jackson, of course, who ran Modifieds weekly at Lancaster. Now he runs in the NASCAR Pinty Series, but I remember Larry and Ron Easton running weekly at Lancaster, and Larry still has a Modified line around and took that out for some test laps. Does that mean we might see the Modifieds at Jukasa at some point soon?
Yeah, I really hope so. I know I've been fortunate to be contacted by, I think, every racing organization in the country, which is a great honor. And I've had been fortunate to have discussions with all those folks, including the RC Modifieds. We've with our opening so late and everybody's schedule somewhat set, it was really hard to put much else together for 2017. But obviously for 2018, look for an open wheel weekend. I hope to include the Modifieds and the Super Modifieds and, another open wheel class from the area possibly, and have a big open wheel weekend as well in 2018. So all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of potential. Obviously moving in, getting our feet wet in 17 at the end of the summer, and having the whole winter off season to work on a 2018 schedule, I would expect that we're going to have several exciting events.
Well, looking forward to it. Alex, last thing before we let you go here, of course, today is the Daytona 500, and for the first time in quite some time, there's a Canadian in the field. DJ Kennington's going to start today's Daytona 500. I'm sure that has you and a lot of your fellow racers and race fans in Ontario very excited to see him in the race today.
Yeah, we're excited. DJ's a good friend of mine. I was the series director in the Pinty Series, as you mentioned, and he races in that series. I raced against him. And I can remember when I was racing, first started in the CASCAR series, DJ was 15 years old. And before we went on the racetrack to start our events, he was doing laps in the family Dodge. So I got to see him right from day one. He's a heck of a driver. You're at Daytona. You never know what can happen. So, yeah, we're excited for him. And hopefully him and his team have a great week or a great day.
Yeah, pretty good representation for Canada in Speed Weeks. You have DJ, you had Stuart Friesen in the truck series, and I know I can't think of the gentleman's name, but there was another driver from Ontario in the truck race as well, too. Fortunately, things didn't go Stuart's way, crashing out, but there, for race fans that aren't aware, a strong series of tracks up there in Ontario, and you guys produce a lot of good racers.
Yeah, we have, there's all kinds of guys behind the scenes too. Cole Pern, who's the chief for Truex in the 78 car. Scott Simmons, who's a tire specialist for the new 77 car in that team. So, we're proud to have those guys involved, and wish them all the best of luck.
Well, Alex, thank you for the time this morning. Great to chat with you. Like you said, if you make your way to Lancaster, please stop up to the announce booth and say hi, and hopefully I'll be able to set foot on the property sometime soon and get to see some great racing out there at Jukasa Motor Speedway later this year.
Yeah, I hope you can make it as well, and same with all your listeners. I can't say I'm a Buffalo Sabres fan, being a Leafs fan. I am a Bandits fan, and I hope that we're fortunate enough to have a bunch of your listeners come up and visit us. We'd be honored.
Very good. Take care, Alex. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
All right, Alex Nagy from the Jucasa Motor Speedway, formerly the Cayuga Motor Speedway in Nell's Corners, Ontario. And really, it's kind of it's a real direct route. Once you cross the border, basically just take Highway 3, go past Humberstone Speedway, and just keep going for little ways, and you'll drive right into Nell's Corners. So it's a real easy trip to make your way out to Nell's Corners here from Western New York once you cross the Peace Bridge. Again, they are going to open up in late August. Still not 100% complete, as Alex said. They've got a few more things to work on, but they do have one race scheduled for this year, August 26th and 27th, with some big late model races. And you heard he's talking to pretty much everybody as they look forward to planning their schedule for 2018 and beyond. When we get back here, we've got open phones the rest of the way here for these final two segments. Fast track, so time to get your phone calls in as we draw closer to the running of the Daytona 500. Again, you'll hear it right here on WGR, and we'll be right back with more Fast Track. Hey. 12:30 here on WGR, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track will take you to the top of the hour, when we'll hand things off to the Motor Racing Network for their live coverage of today's Daytona 500. They have pre-race starting at 1, and then their race broadcast will start at 2. The official green flag time is right around 2:30 this afternoon, so if you're going to be out and about this afternoon and you want to know the exact time you need to be on your couch or in front of your radio in time to catch the green flag, that's kind of what you want to look for, is 2:30 today, if you don't mind missing all the pre-race pomp and circumstance and all the singing and praying and jets flying overhead. If you don't mind missing that, be in your seat by 2:30 to catch the green flag. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Phone lines are open for you the rest of the way here on this two-hour preview show of For the Great American Race. We'll be back to our normal one-hour time format next Sunday, 11 to noon, when the Cup Series heads to Atlanta for race number 2 on the 2017 season. Again, already we've seen plenty of wrecks in the Truck and Xfinity Series events already this weekend at Daytona, but I really don't think we're going to see a duplicate of that today, and I don't really chalk it up, and what I chalk up those two events to is more the inexperienced drivers in the field versus drivers being too aggressive or the drivers reacting to the new stage formats. I think it's just more of maybe some less experienced drivers driving a little bit in over their heads, in a restrictor plate race, something they might not have had a lot of time with, if any, in their respective series. You know, maybe they've only run an ARCA race on a restrictor plate track, or, you know, maybe they only have one previous start in the Truck or Xfinity Series on a restrictor plate. You know, just a lot of inexperienced drivers. And that's a byproduct of the new policy with restricting the amount of starts a Cup driver with 5 years of experience can have in the lower series. But that is something that has been called for by the fans. They want to see, you know, they don't want to see Kyle Busch or Brad Keselowski or Joey Logano going into the Truck Series and in the Xfinity Series all the time and, beating up on the series regulars and winning the majority of the races. So NASCAR continues to, you know, fine-tune that policy and threw even more restrictions on the guys for this year, limiting the number of starts they can have in both series and preventing them from running in the playoffs and everything. So that's what you're going to get, though. You're going to get a lot of young, inexperienced drivers in both series, and that can lead to more crashes. So I think that's why you're not going to see a repeat of that today with the Cup Series, when you have a much more veteran crew out there for the 40 starters for today's race. One of those young drivers, though, did go to victory lane in the Truck Series. Kaz Grala picked up a first career Truck Series win as he was able to squeak through an amazing last lap crash on the backstretch that saw Matt Crafton truck flip 360 in the air before landing down on Johnny Sauter's truck in a wild last lap crash on the backstretch. Kaz Grala found his way through that wreck and drove his way to victory lane for his first win in the Truck Series. And Kez, one of the up-and-coming names, he's had a good run in the K&N Pro Series divisions, and now he's moved up driving for the the GMS racing team this year. He started on the pole, too, and wound up winning it. He was pretty funny in Victory Lane, too, when they interviewed him on Fox Sports 1. They were showing him the replay of the crash, and he had not known that Craft had flipped over, and he was, you know, he's like, oh, my God, somebody flipped over when he was watching the replay live on Fox Sports 1. And then jokingly he said, he was having a hard time. He didn't know what to do by winning the race. He said he didn't know how to do a donut, and he figured since he was Polish, he would do the victory lap backwards anyway. So I had to get a laugh out of that, him saying that on the Fox Sports 1 broadcast. So exciting for him to get his first win, but definitely that was quite a rough start to the season for the Truck Series, and that race saw a big wreck on just the second lap of the race. Unfortunately, took out Stuart Friesen, who we've had on the show here, you know, a couple of times throughout the years, native of Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario. His family, of course, owned Lancaster Speedway and Ransomville Speedway, and Stewart going for his first full year in the Camper World Truck Series this season, as he is hooked up with his sponsor, Hallmar International. They've created a new team, and they've hired Tommy Baldwin and some other veteran people to help them run the full Camper World Truck Series season. But unfortunately for Stewart, eliminated very quickly, and and unfortunately could not come back out. I don't know how bad his truck was damaged, but because it was towed back to the garage, he was out of the race. And because of the new rule concerning damage in NASCAR's National Touring Series, and a lot of people this weekend have gotten a little bit upset about that this new policy where if you can't get that car or truck repaired in 5 minutes at pit road, you're done for the day. And while I'm totally not on board with them, I do see that there could be a possibility of maybe tweaking this rule for the restrictor plate races. You know, I don't think this will be as big an issue once we get into the rest of the season, but when you go to the restrictor plate tracks, you do have the possibility of massive multi-car pileups that can take out up to a third of the field in one incident. So it really, forces a good chunk of your drivers to have to make repairs. I mean, last night in the Xfinity Series race, I think, they had 36 starters. I think all but maybe five cars had damage at some point in the incident because they had 3-4 multi-car incidents as well, too. So maybe, I'm not saying they're definitely going to do this, but maybe NASCAR will go back and take a look at this policy and maybe, make some changes to it going forward for maybe just the restrictor plate races. I don't know. But maybe it's giving them more than 5 minutes or some other, something else just to keep the number of cars running at the end of the race, keep more cars involved in the race. And especially with the restrictor plate tracks, aerodynamics is such an issue. You want to make those repairs, so finite to try and keep your car or truck, the aerodynamics of it, to keep it as good as they can be. Although anytime you take any kind of damage affects the car's aerodynamics so much that maybe with restrictor plate tracks, they're allowed maybe a few more minutes to make those repairs, or maybe allow them to put new body panels on just for the restrictor plate tracks, which they can't do anymore because of the new rule. Because it seemed like, the teams would just get out there and thrash and just try and throw on all this pieces of bare bond or duct tape and just kind of thrash. And because of the limited amount of time, and it just seemed like it was counterproductive, because it just seemed like they, with the recklessness, maybe not recklessness, but just the hurried fashion that they have to make these repairs in, that it just winds up leading to, a bigger chance of parts and pieces falling off. I remember in the truck race, you had one guy go out there and he shed, a few pieces. He dropped debris because they had to make the repair so quickly. So maybe an adjustment is needed for the plate tracks. Again, it's only two races in, and we haven't even seen it in the Cup Series today. We'll see going forward if maybe NASCAR takes a look at it before they go to Talladega this spring, or when we go back to Daytona in July. We'll see if maybe they change the policy regarding the new damage policy for the restrictor plate tracks. But again, I don't think it'll be as big an issue going forward, because you don't see in the mile and a half tracks and the smaller tracks in the circuit these massive pileups that can take out a third of the field and affect so many cars in competition. Get 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Your thoughts on who do you think could win the Daytona 500? Your thoughts on the numerous rule changes going into the season, and your Daytona 500 methods of wagering or party games if you get together with a bunch of people, watch Daytona 500. What is your equivalent of like Super Bowl squares for watching a race? I would love to hear some different ideas and see what everybody likes to do out there when they watch this event, which again is the most mainstream event on the NASCAR schedule that draws in the most casual of fans, it seems like, every season, this race especially. So what you do to kind of liven things up. Been a lot of talk this week about a Wall Street Journal article that came out early this week about NASCAR. And it really got matter-of-factly on the state of the sport. You know, really hammered on the declining television ratings and the declining attendance ratings, attendance, you know, ticket sales in general. And it really, and also delved into the relationship between Brian France and his sister Lisa France Kennedy, who heads up the International Speedway Corporation. Of course, you know, Brian, the CEO of NASCAR. And their relationship, which apparently is, you know, kind of frosty, and they don't always work together as much as they should or could when making major decisions surrounding the sport. It even went into to state, based on sources, that the shares of NASCAR that each Lisa France Kennedy and Brian France took after the passing of their father, Bill Jr., that, you know, Brian France has actually sold his shares at some point, whether it's to his other members, whether it's his sister Lisa or his uncle Jim France, has sold his shares in NASCAR, you know, although he still has shares in the International Speedway Corporation, which is also owned by the France family, which owns the tracks like Daytona and Watkins Glen and some of the other facilities in the sport. And, you know, and a lot of talk about Brian's leadership of the sport, and it just it really painted a negative picture. I don't think it was as bad as some people made it out to be. It was just kind of stating the facts surrounding the sport, a lot of it. I don't think it was purposely going out of the way to bash NASCAR at all, but it seems like now that you can draw your conclusions to the political climate in this country right now, that the inner circle of NASCAR is now kind of drawn ranks and is kind of standing up talking out against this report, saying that it's not as bad a picture as that article makes it out to be. And and actually there has been, you know, there is some good news concerning the future of the sport. It might not be a complete turnaround, but you know, there has been some positive signs during speed weeks, you know, concerning sponsorship and just how healthy the sport may or may not be doing. There's been two huge sponsor announcements this week. FedEx has re-upped with Joe Gibbs Racing and Denny Hamlin. He got a contract extension. And then Joey Logano and Shell Pennzoil and Penske announced a big deal, and Joey is now signed through 2022. And that's a huge contract, you know, for NASCAR, a five-year deal. You don't see a lot of that in the sport. Usually drivers sign, you know, maybe a two- or three-year agreement, but for Logano to be locked up through 2022 and to have Shell Pennzoil, a huge company, obviously, locked up through 22, that is, you know, a good sign of things to come for the sport, that they can still hang on to some major sponsors like that, especially huge with Shell and FedEx, and that's great to see. And also a positive thing, sponsor-wise at least, that I've seen this year is a couple sponsors coming back into the sport. Not full-time, but they have, you know, taken smaller roles in the sport, but it's great to see them back involved. And it all goes back to the Darlington Throwback program. You know, the last few years, the Southern 500, they've kind of gone with this throwback theme where drivers get retro paint schemes, and that has led to a couple retro sponsors to come back in the sport. One of those is Tide, who of course was synonymous with NASCAR in the 80s and 90s and sponsoring Darrell Waltrip and Ricky Rudd. You know, they had left the sport, but they came back last year to sponsor Matt Kenseth for the Southern 500 to give him a throwback paint scheme. Well, it turns out Tide must have, you know, saw enough return on investment or enough, you know, interaction because of the sponsorship that they've come back and they're going to sponsor Matt for a couple races this year. And another sponsor to do that was Hooters, who of course was very famous when Alan Kowicki won his championship driving the Hooters car in 1992. They came back last year and sponsored Chase Elliott and went with a throwback Alan Kowicki paint scheme. Well, now they're coming back and they're sponsoring Chase Elliott as an associate sponsor, and they'll be the main sponsor in his car a couple of times this year. So it's great to see that that program has paid off to bring a couple of sponsors who had left the sport but are still kind of a, you know, when you think about them, you still think about NASCAR because of just how iconic their involvement was back in the day. It's great to see that they are actually now investing dollars once again and you know, trading back on some of that name recognition that they've had for all these years, that they're getting back involved in the sport. It's not great that they're going to two of the biggest teams in Joe Gibbs and Hendrick Motorsports, but still, anytime you see somebody getting back involved in NASCAR is great to see. And, sponsorship going well for JTG Doherty Racing. The reason they could start a second team this year with Chris Buescher, they said, because they had enough sponsors to go around and, put together a two-car operation for this year with Chris Buescher coming aboard. Well, when we come back, we'll have one segment to go here as we round out this special two-hour edition of WGR's Fast Track. Last chance to get your calls in at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. We'll wrap up Fast Track when we get back here on WGR. Chase Elliott starting on the pole for today's Daytona 500. I mentioned this earlier, but in case you're just tuning in, a pole sitter has not won the Daytona 500 since the year 2000. It's been 17 years since a pole winner's won. Dale Jarrett did it in 2000. Jeff Gordon did the year before in 1999. But since then, a pole winner has not won the Daytona 500. Just keep that in mind if you're picking your fantasy team. And, our Fast Track Fantasy League just taken off here since we started the show. We were at 47. We're up to 54 signed up for the Fast Track Fantasy League on Fox Sports. You can check my Twitter at FastTrack550 for the link to sign up. My lineup for today, going with Joey Logano, of course, I've been saying is my pick to win today. I took Dale Jr., even though everybody does, but his value was so low, only $6,700. That's like budget rate for Jr. So you had to, it was a easy pick just because he was so low. Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr., and Kyle Busch. That is my fantasy lineup for this afternoon on our Fast Track Fantasy League. But we're up to 54 teams, so that's more than last year. We had 52 last year. Real simple to play. You don't even have to know anything. Just ask Paul Hamilton. He'll tell you. He just picks drivers at random, that's what he says, at least. I don't believe him. But he is playing again with us once again this year. So again, Fast Track 550. You can find the link. You can still have time to sign up before the green flag waves today. Speaking of Paul, and he is in Arizona today for Sabres Coyotes. So that's coming up today on WGR. Face off just after 8:30 from whatever they're calling the arena in Arizona these days. I can't think of the sponsor. Pregame at 7:30 with my buddy Brian Koziel and Pat Malacaro. They'll have the pregame show for you this evening. So what a cool sports day this is. You've got Daytona and then you've got Sabres tonight. I guess you got the Oscars tonight too. So lots to watch and keep you busy on this Sunday. Last Sunday was fun. We had the Bandits game, Sabres game, and pole qualifying in the Clash last Sunday too. So today's another Sunday of just sitting on your duff watching sports. So I think that's what's on tap for me today as well. Thank you for listening. Speaking of the Sabres, why I brought up the Sabres in the first place was I was shocked to see right before we went on the air this morning a tweet from the Sabres Twitter account about the Daytona 500. I couldn't believe it. They had a little shout out that today is the Daytona 500, and of course one of their big sponsors is Toyota, of course, who's one of the manufacturers in the Cup Series. So a little shout out to the Toyota teams as well from the official Sabres Twitter account. I'm disappointed. Well, not disappointed, but what I want to see is, usually in the weeks leading up to the Daytona 500, they send a lot of drivers out to promote the event. They send them to sporting events. And, this year, Martin Truex went to a Tampa Bay Lightning game and Brad Keselowski went to a Detroit Red Wings game. When are we going to get an NHL player to come to a Sabres game? That's what I'd love to see. In the future, if we could get, maybe with Toyota's involvement with the Sabres, maybe they can bring a Toyota driver to the KeyBank Center at some point to do a promotional tour. Because the best part is they always do the trade-off where a member of the team gives the driver a jersey with their name on it, and then the driver gives, whatever player it is, either a fire suit or a helmet or something. They always do that kind of trade-off. I can't think of who did it this year for the Lightning game at Truex, but I know I have the pictures on our Fast Track Facebook page. But I think it'd be fun if we could get a NASCAR driver to a Sabres game maybe next year, as leading up to the promotion of next year's Daytona 500. Actually, their trainer, George Babcock, huge gearhead, huge racing fan as well, too. His nickname's Mopar, so maybe he can pull some strings, especially if Dodge gets back into the sport. I hope you enjoy listening and watching to today's race. Feel free to take our conversation on social media during the race. You can tweet at me at FastTrack550. Or facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. I'll be on social media throughout the race if you want to talk on there. Send your thoughts throughout the race this afternoon, and we can continue our conversation there. But if not, we'll talk to you next Sunday here at 11 a.m. for next week's edition of Fast Track. Enjoy the Daytona 500, and thanks for listening.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.